Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
So check me on this. Did you guys in ATO, the size you were, the reputation you had, did anyone ever engage in a game of Edward 40 Hands?
Yes.
Because... sounds like Pat Manley did.
Not a drop can be spilled.
Explain what it is. It's apparently...
You take 40 ounces and someone duct tapes one to each hand, and then you get unduct taped once you've finished your assigned and allotted liquid.
And then you go out and act like a complete idiot for the rest of the night.
And then
I didn't need duct tape to do that, I guess.
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
The pause is the best part of it. Yes. Just come clean. Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Sage Rosenfeld is going to join us at 9:40. Break down the Bears offense and the play of Mitchell Trubisky. Ben Lindbergh talks baseball at 10:20. The Midday Midway at 10:40. Hub Arkish at 11, and surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is our phone number at WSCR The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. Send a text or a sext.
Texting
to 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1McKnight. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. You also must download the Radio.com app.
Lamar Jackson for MVP.
Dude.
I mean, that kind of did it last. They could have hung 100 on that Rams team. That sorry-ass Rams defense that had no idea how to keep up with that offense.
Makes the Bears' loss look worse.
It really does, and I'm tired. I'm so tired of people looking at that offense and that quarterback and saying, well, we'll see, and oh, he's going to get hit, and oh, we'll see what he does in the playoffs. Dude hung 30-something on the Patriots' defense. The all-time Patriots defense. He can do it. They can do that.
I don't know the exact stat, but I saw something earlier today that with Lamar Jackson and Charlie on his drives, they haven't punted in 4 games.
Tired of it.
They don't punt. He does things to you, and they go down the field against
Watch what's happening.
Yep. You must download the Radio.com app. It's the best way to listen because you can pause the live audio. You can rewind.
Go back 15 seconds. Yep. Real easy. Touch of a button. One button.
That way you can enjoy us or hate us on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. Mike Chen is on the board, and Ray Diaz, the executioner, is in the back doing what he does. Yeah, I was flipping channels last night and really just stewing over this Bulls performance.
Oh.
Nothing makes sense.
No.
They have to be seeing the same things. John Paxson and Gar Forman and Michael Reinsdorf have to be. Look, this is, you're at home. The Blazers are dog breath. And they're destroying you because of what you're deciding to do. Like, they talk about rebounding, they don't rebound. They talk about defense. They spend the whole first half blitzing pick and roll and then having to rotate and rotate and rotate. You know what? They're bad at rotating. When you blitz pick and roll, you rotate more and earlier. Yep, they're bad at it, but it's something they want to do. So then, second half, revelation. What are we going to do? We're going to switch pick and roll. Now, what happens when you switch pick and roll? Mismatches. What happens when the other coach understands those mismatches? He gives the ball to the guy who has the opportunity to beat his guy. That was the whole second half. And then what? Then you're helping. What happens when you come and help? More rotations. So they absolutely got pantsed.
Portland had been on the road since the 18th. The 18th! They had the Rockets, the Pelicans, the Bucks, the Cavs, and then they came to the Bulls. They've been on the road.
I don't know what you do, but somebody has to be unhappy about this. You got to salvage these players. Lowry Market. Well, first of all, Zach LaVine is done with this guy. Zach LaVine isn't even, and even after the, again, he's like, well, I disagree with this, I disagree with that. He's not listening to
the
word.
I feel like the Charlotte game let you know that he's done with
done.
It. Done. With performance, Dunzo. With action, with words, he's
done.
Good on this.
And Lowry Markkanen isn't as outspoken about it, but he is regressing in front of our eyes.
If he were making shots, he might be outspoken about it.
And poor Wendell Carter Jr., who is a guy who does understand the game and knows what he's supposed to do and is a responsible player, you can just look at him. Look at the way he's playing. Look at how many people he has to cover on a given possession defensively, because he's the only guy who's doing everything he has to do every time. I understand why he's miserable. So this was immediately after the game. Well, you got pantsed at home by the Blazers, and this is what it sounded like.
I thought they played well. I thought they made a lot of tough shots. I thought they made a lot of tough twos. You got to give them credit for that. I thought we were trying, and I just felt like it was one of those nights where the ball didn't go in for us, and we didn't respond very well to it. So that's where we got to grow.
A lot of games this season where we've come out afterwards and said, threes are just not falling for us. Is there, when that's happening, is there an alternative you preach, or is there something else that should
be
doing, or they just keep
until it... We made 22. We made 22 last night, or Saturday night we made 22. Tonight we make 9. So it'd be great if we could count on 14 or 15 made threes a game with the number we shoot, and we've been inconsistent that way. So, Detroit, I think we shot the ball pretty well from the three. So we're 2-2 in our last 4 games, and we got to keep playing, and we got to come in tomorrow and go to work, and then get on that bird and keep playing. That's what we got to do.
Did some of that have to do with the people that were taking the threes, like Dunn missing 5?
Yeah, I thought those were, Chris works on that. Those were wide open threes. I thought we had a bunch of. Somebody told me we had 18 threes in a row. Second half. Until Hutch made that one, we had 18 threes in a row, and then my staff told me 15 of them were open threes. I don't know. We'll have to look at the film, but yeah, we had 15 of 18 open threes in the second half, and they make theirs, and we don't make ours. So I like my group. They're disappointed that we didn't play better. We're just going to come in and go to work tomorrow and grow.
Speaking of this building, before the season, there's a lot of talk about, we've got to establish our home court.
Yeah.
We have to be, teams come in here, they know.
Yeah.
And there have been a number of relatively flat performances in this game. What have you seen?
Yeah, I don't think we were flat tonight, Sam. I don't think we played well, but I don't think we were flat. I didn't feel that tonight.
Well, during the game, it got flat.
Yeah, it did. It did. I think the inability to make shots, like I said, we missed 5 dunks. We missed 2 double. That's a free throw line. And we missed open threes I think we can make. And I'd like our guys to take. So I thought it took our spirit. And we got to fight through those moments. I didn't think we weren't trying. I know we care. And sometimes our disappointment, I think, hurts our ability to make a run. That's what we got to fix.
If you don't win the next 2 games, you'll get into December without having had a winning streak of any size to date. Is that in itself disappointing?
Of course we want to have a winning streak. I mean, I think that's, we'd love to have a winning streak. We don't. So all we can do is wake up tomorrow and go to work. I don't tell our guys, hey, we don't have a winning streak going right now. We need to get one. I talk to them about playing better basketball more of the time. And those things will come. That's a result of more consistency, better play. I think it'll come.
Help. 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 Help, help, help.
Maybe your shooters aren't very good if they're missing 15 uncontested threes.
You know why Chris Dunn has the open threes?
Because everybody wants him to take it.
They want him to. The other team is leaving him open. They want him to shoot that because it helps them win.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's good to get away. We've had a long home stretch, and it's been tough at home, you know, to be real about it. And I feel like, you know, we've played better on the road, and, you know, I just feel like it's going to be good to get away, and, you know, hopefully we can get this thing on the right track.
Zach LaVine, but I can't wait to get away from home. I don't usually hear that.
They get to go play the Warriors, so that's probably a good thing. Then they get the Blazers again, and then it's the Kings. So, you know, a couple of games you might be able to just lose in the last few minutes.
A little soft part of the schedule there for them. This hour is brought to you by the Axergen Temporal Scanner. 30 million people come down with the flu every year. It could be you or your family. The best way to tell if it's a cold or the flu is by taking your temperature, and no one does that better than the Axergen Temporal Scanner. I don't know what to do. It took our spirit. We can't come back in games because we don't have our spirit. Come on, man. Just get somebody in here who's competent. Somebody in here who can tell them what to do, when to do it, and why they're doing it. Because I don't know what this is. I don't know what they expected this to be after what happened last year. Under Jim Boyle, they won 9 home games. 9?
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I are obviously incredibly frustrated with Jim Boylan and the way he sounds when he's coaching this team, what he's trying to coach into this team. Does a different head coach? I wish I felt more confident that a different head coach gave me a better answer on whether Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen could play together. I think it gives you some semblance of, you know, better offense, better scheme. Not looking for Chris Dunn to knock down open threes when you don't want him being the guy to knock down open threes. That shouldn't be the shot that your offense settles for. You shouldn't be the guy up at a microphone in the postgame going, well, you know, we got Chris Dunn a good bulk of open threes, so that should have won us a ball game.
That means you're being out-coached.
The hell with that. The hell with that. You got to get... No, that's not how that works. Still, you know, organizationally and personnel-wise, they've got a pretty deep question in terms of whether Zach and Lowry work together. The overwhelming returns on that so far are not so much.
Zach plays for Zach LaVine. He is an empty calories scorer on a bad team guy.
Yeah, he's a guy you committed the contract to.
Yeah, which I was against initially. He's never been affiliated with winning. He's not an instinctive basketball player at all. He's a remarkable athlete and an incredible talent.
Yeah, I think those things are true. If he's your third option on a team, I think you're fine.
he views himself as a star. He's going to pick his moments. He's going to have his my turn possessions. He's doing whatever he wants to do. Right now, he's a rogue actor. He's not part of your heart and soul and spirit or whatever you're talking about.
Is it weird that I cheer for him as a rogue actor and not so much as the lead option on a basketball team? Is that fine? Can I do that? You know, as opposed to wondering or hoping that he and Lowry Marketing can work together, I actually kind of value his actions while going rogue more than I do his development at this point. I think that's the thing that's going to shock change into any of this organization. It's not going to be his playing well with others.
Right. Yeah, I don't foresee that happening. I don't think all of a sudden some guy who never had basketball instincts, especially under this regime or this administration, that they're blathering about heart and soul and spirit, is all of a sudden going to become an instinctive, aware basketball player.
No.
It's not happening.
No, kind of a sad state. A little bit like the Detroit Lions, who are the Bears' next opponent. A lot to do with the Bears. Sage Rosenfels is our Tuesday morning quarterback. We have shuffled a few things around in this show, you know, with the short week and Thanksgiving and whatnot. Sage is coming up in just a couple minutes. We'll talk with Ben Lindbergh, the author of The MVP Machine, at 10:20 as well. It is Tuesday, so we've changed things around. Sage is next, though. It's Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Sage Rosenfels.
Good physical stature, can see, and looks to be smart with the football.
12-year NFL quarterback.
Rosenfels, rolling, near side, throwing for the end zone, touchdown!
Our Tuesday morning quarterback.
There's just so many combinations that a defense can do to confuse a quarterback, even a veteran quarterback. That is the complex, deep science of football that very few people understand.
Sage Rosenfels,
brilliant!
With Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Let's talk a little football. Let's find out what went right and what went wrong against the lowly Giants for the Chicago Bears as Sage Rosenfels joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You can follow Sage on Twitter at SageRosenfels18, and he's with us. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Sage. What's going on, man?
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, and hope all is well. Are you guys going to get any storms this weekend? I'm trying to head to Colorado, and it looks like it's going to be a disaster. I got about 10 inches of snow out there, so we'll see if we make it tomorrow.
Well, good luck to you. I guess they say like something like 70% of the country is dealing with some weather, like high winds.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be wet and gross around here, too, so the beautiful snow that you'll get will probably be nasty sleet and nonsense.
So the Bears went up against a terrible defense, and they did some things, especially in the third quarter, that looked a little bit better. What did you see, and how much of it was the Bears playing well, and how much of it was taking advantage of a bad defense?
Well, this is true. The Giants' secondary was nothing to write home about. That team's got all sorts of issues, but to be honest with you, I thought Mitch played, did a lot of good things in this game, and just sort of did the best of what he had to work with. There are some things that the Bears do that don't make a lot of sense to me. This game, they were doing a lot of audibling to where they would go into a slot formation. And if the New York Giants brought the corner over to the two receiver side or three receiver side for the Bears, they would either leave the play on because they had a man play, or they would audible to some sort of man play. But there were some times where they would audible to a play that's not good. They would audible to a man play when they got zone, or they would audible to a zone play when they got man-to-man. An example is they had a play action, I believe it was in the second quarter, and they had a slot formation, and they audible to this corner route play. Well, it's man-to-man coverage, and you might think man-to-man, corner routes are good, but they're not actually good if you have outside leverage man, because that outside player, that corner player, is going to just funnel the slot receiver right to the free safety. He's going to play outside technique because his help is on the inside. Well, to throw corner routes versus that are nearly impossible. Well, they actually audibled to that play. You're audibling to a really tough play where your inside receiver is going to have to somehow get outside of a guy who's going to play outside technique. That's really hard to do. And there's multiple sort of plays in this game plan that, there's another one where they audible to a shallow double shallow crossing routes play near the goal line, about the 5-7 yard line, and the New York Giants are in zone coverage. Well, shallow crossing routes aren't really very good versus zone coverage. You want to run those versus man. So there were some game plan things, again, which they audible to, or they check to, or they, killed to, like the second play, where they actually, to me, ran a play that was a bad play rather than a better play.
Who's that on? Is it Mitch Trubisky's fault for not recognizing what the defense is or is going to be? Is he being outfoxed by disguised coverage, or is that just what's in the plan?
That's the game plan. He is absolutely this is not a super complex thing where, you know, man, what defense were they in? I mean, you don't always know coverage, but when you line up in some sort of pre-snap formation, again, you know, slot is the classic thing to do, or putting a tight end on the outside. You know, if a strong safety goes with that tight end on the outside when he's sort of in a receiver position, that's usually man-to-man coverage. If there's a cornerback covering that tight end on the outside, and you've got a linebacker now guarding the wide receiver on the inside, you know that's going to be some sort of zone coverage, because you would never want a man-to-man linebacker guarding a an Allen Robinson, right? So everything that Mitchell Trubisky did was by game plan. He was following what he was instructed to do. He was reading the coverage, whether it was man or whether it was zone, and he was audible into the play that the coaches had given him, you know, as they prepared on Monday and Tuesday, and they give you the game plan on Wednesday, and this is going to be our audible checks, and this is what we're going to do versus this, and we're going to have two plays here, and if they're in man coverage, we're going to run the first play. If they're in zone coverage, we're going to kill it or audible it to the second play. To me, he was doing exactly what he was told. It just didn't make any sense. Again, you know, I'm not the Bears offense coordinator. I'm not in that quarterback's room. But it seemed like to me he would be it multiple times. Just in the first half, I think I counted three or four different times where it looked like they audibled to a bad play as the second play, rather than trying to audible to something that made more sense based off of whether it was man or zone coverage.
So, Sage, I like the Bears' use of play action on Sunday against the Giants. I think that's something I'd like to see more of, though I understand that with an offensive line playing the way that theirs is usually, there's a little bit of danger in that. There's still a conversation in the NFL about running play action when you don't run the ball well, and that it can still play action can still be beneficial towards you. I wonder where you fall in that argument and whether you'd prescribe a little more play action or just the continued use of whatever play action you saw against the Giants.
If I were Chicago, I'd run a lot of play action. I'd run a lot of bootleg stuff. You know, it is really hard to drop back in the pocket. I was watching Good Morning NFL this morning on NFL Network, and they were talking about Jared Goff's big decline this year. His numbers have gone way down, and he's thrown for like 61% or something in his last four games, and you know, barely a touchdown pass or whatever. Well, they don't really have a run game right now with the LA Rams, and so they're dropping back to pass a lot, and that's a hard place to be, is in that pocket with a leaky offensive line trying to throw the ball down the field. I was watching this Bears game. Man, I think it was the first play of the game. They go play action to Taylor Gabriel. They went bootleg on the first play. Then I think on the second drive, they went play action to a comeback for a 15-yard gain to Taylor Gabriel along that right sideline. The play action stuff hugely helps the offensive line. Even if you don't necessarily even run the ball all that much, just the fact that you're probably going to have at least a tight end, if not two tight ends, stand and block. Yes, you're having fewer receivers out in the pass pattern, but you're causing the linebackers, the safeties, the D linemen to displace. And when I say that, it means they have to play the run first, which means they're not just dropping back into coverage to guard those receivers, which then opens up more one-on-one stuff with just the receiver and the cornerback, or the receiver and the safety, opens up bigger holes in the secondary. And for a quarterback, it's much easier to take your drop and fake the handoff and pop up, and you know, all the linebackers now have sucked up, and now you can throw the ball either on some sort of dig route behind them or even on a comeback on the outside, because now you don't have a dropper straight sprinting, running underneath the comeback as if you were which would be the case if you were in just a regular drop back pass. So I'm a big believer in play action. You have a lot of teams that are getting really, really big yards per attempt because of play. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, the numbers that they're putting up with their play action stuff with Kirk Cousins, who's not a great athletic quarterback, I would say. He's a very accurate quarterback, but, a third of the athlete of Mitch Trubisky. But their bootleg and their play action stuff, they're getting huge plays down the field. And last week, so a week and a half ago, their win, their comeback that they had versus the Broncos, one was a bootleg to the left, and the safety hit came on the crosser route, and they had the post behind them hit Stephon Diggs. And then the next one, a few drives later, they hit the tight end, Kyle Rudolph. Nobody is around him on a bootleg because they run the football so well, and the defense sucked up on the run. The guy that was in man-to-man played the run, lost Kyle Rudolph, completely wide open for a touchdown. You just don't see that in the Bears' offense very much, because they don't do a lot of play-action bootleg. I think they should do more of it, because more often than not, when they do play-action or bootleg stuff, positive things happen. Even if it's only a five-yard gain, but they're getting some bigger chunks when they do that play action.
Oh, 5 yard gain feels like you should have a party right now to just have sort of a representative run play. And in the first quarter, first drive, when we saw Montgomery run with 12 or 13 yards, I'd never seen it before. And then it never happened again because they still can't get a push up front, whatever they're trying to do in their basic bread and butter zone running scheme, it's not working. And I don't know if some of this is Montgomery seeing ghosts and making cuts he doesn't have to make and not trusting where the hole is going to be, and some of it is guys just losing blocks.
Well, yeah, listen, the offensive line is not great. In particular, I'm not trying to point anybody out, but the right guard really struggles sometimes in pass protection, sometimes in run blocking. They don't really have a rhyme or, again, like, there's nothing that really sets up. They'll run a running play, but they don't really have a play action play that goes off that running play. So the defense can really sort of hone in sometimes on when it is a run. They can just come right downhill, and because they're not as concerned about the play action bootleg stuff. That's why I wish the Bears would do more of it. Another thing that Chicago does not do well, and this is probably no secret to you guys, is the screen game.
Ugh.
And I don't know why that is, but man, I'm seeing some, again, I don't want, because I cover Minnesota as my sort of my full-time gig. They run 3, 4, 5, 6 screens. They ran 7 screens a couple weeks ago to Dalvin Cook. 7 for 7 for 86 yards. He had 109 yards after catch in that game, which means they're all screens, right? And they're all very executed well. They're all timed out really well with the linemen and the whole thing. The Bears really struggle with their screen game. There doesn't seem to be any sort of rhythm with it, where the linemen are out there and the timing's right and the running back's there at the right time, and they really struggle with the screen game. That would hugely help the offensive line if they could do better at that. If they could become a better screen team, man, those are great ways for linemen to not have to block the great pass rushers that you see in the NFL.
Sage, appreciate you as always. We'll check in with you next week and have a great Thanksgiving, man.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
That is the Thanksgivingly themed named Sage Rosenfels.
I see what you did there. I put Rosenfels in my turkey all the time.
We're going to talk baseball coming up with Ben Lindbergh in a little bit. I wouldn't mind if we turned the discussion that way because I'd be happy to. There's Cubs and Sox stuff going on.
Rumors afoot.
Behind the scenes. And if you follow MLB trade rumors.
And you should
because they do a really nice job of. That site went from being sort of a fringe element to being mainstream.
It was one of those like amalgamators that was like, we could run our own stuff too. And Ben Nicholson Smith was like, I could be a reporter as well. And now he's running the beat for, I think it's the Blue Jays. And that site is absolutely blown up. I use it for everything.
Yeah, a lot of Cubs, a lot of Sox to talk about. We're going to do that next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.